health is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved congregation, welcome into worship this Lord's Day morning, this beautiful day. Let's sing together 281. 281. Mindful of our human frailty is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. We sing this also as we consider and contemplate the loss of one of us a few weeks ago. May the Lord bless it to our hearts. 281. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, or that stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And as the law comes to us as sinners from a holy God, may we look to the blood of the Lamb that was slain. The Lord Jesus took the punishment his people deserved upon himself, and he earned for them everlasting life that begins now and endures forever. May we look to Christ for grace and peace with God. Now please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians, our focus is on the early verses of chapter 5. But it's hard to just begin at that chapter. So we read from verse 8 of chapter 4 through verse 10 of chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 through 5, verse 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath brought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We end our reading of the inspired word of the Lord there. May God bless His word to our hearts and for the benefit of our lives. Again, we think of the Morning family, not having been in church last Lord's Day. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Shirley and John and Linda and the extended family in the passing of Jerry. Truly, he is missed. And truly, the Lord has supplied. And we thank Him for that. Also, there is no prayer service this Tuesday, unfortunately. I have a committee conference call that I have to attend that goes at the very same time as that prayer meeting usually does, so my apologies for that, and the Lord willing we'll have Bible study then the following Tuesday. And then just a note, I believe today is the first Sunday in Lent or Passion. And even though I won't be preaching a Passion service per se this morning, I just wanted to direct your attention to that as I'm using the messages I had prepared for last week today. So the Lord willing, we'll commence our consideration in the weeks to come. Let's pray together. Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God, our dwelling place. Through the ages of this human race, and even before, from eternity, Thou art God. And we are frail human creatures, dust to dust, the mortal dies, both the foolish and the wise. And Lord, we come to Thee as a church family, laid low, having lost one of our dear people. But oh, that through the outgoings of these past few weeks, that it would have been to our great gain, committing those who mourn to Thee for comfort, and looking to Thee as the One who is the righteous and upright Judge in heaven. O Lord, we ask Thee to grant to Shirley and the family, John and Linda and the boys, and the further family as well, that they would find peace in Thyself. And we thank Thee for Thy upholding hand through the past weeks. We pray for it going forward. O God, be our light and be our strength. And we thank Thee for Thy word, which in hard circumstances, even of which we have read that the Apostle Paul had to go through, having a life that was very hard, that still Thy grace upheld him. And that is what we need as well, for all of us, Thy grace to be sufficient for us, Thy strength to be made perfect in our weakness. And we long that Christ would be glorified, that the Savior who saves not just souls from sin, but who has redeemed people from death, that Christ would be exalted as he is even today on the throne at the right hand of his Father, and that the merits he has earned would be applied richly to all of us for our eternal benefit. Oh, Lord Jesus, grant that we would see none except thee this day, that Christ would be preached, that Christ would draw all people to himself here and throughout the world. Oh, it's through the foolishness of preaching, it's through the message of the gospel of one who has gone before, that our lives can be filled not with fear, but with hope, with confidence, and with joy. Our God, we depend entirely upon thee for the forgiveness of our sins. For we are all as an unclean thing. For we all are as lepers, full of spots, unable to remove, unable to change, unable to cleanse one spot of sin from us. But oh, thou canst, Lord, wash us thoroughly. Thou canst purge us. Thou canst cleanse us completely, even to that glorious reality that which Isaiah himself understood, that when we receive thy reasoning, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Will they be red like crimson? They can be as wool. O Father of mercies, grant us that purification, that blessed being made new again, and that for our lives it would show in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for the church, for thy bride, that thou hast granted the support of members for each other, that when people rejoice, we may rejoice all together, but also that when people mourn, we may mourn all together, and that we would bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, looking unitedly to thyself and resting wholeheartedly in thy Spirit. Oh, we ask thee to grant our church family, through the loss of one of us, that we would be bound even closer together in love. And please especially be with Shirley. Oh, be near to her. Grant her strength and blessing through it all. We thank thee for thy upholding hand. We thank thee for thy goodness shown to her, and even for the overwhelming support she has received. Please, Lord, chart the course for her going forward, that she would find wonderful purpose, wonderful love surrounding her, and especially find thy work in her continuing. Bless the family, John and Linda and their family among us, and Susan and David and their children and grandchildren as well. Lord, be near to them and grant through the sorrow that they would be able to hope in God, through the darkness that they would be led to seek thee as their light and thy word to guide them. And that, especially looking unto Jesus, they would find for themselves grace and love and mercy showered forth. Lord, please also be with others to continue through hardship. Think of Rob Nabitko. Help him as he continues to have the effects of his PRP skin condition working out in his body. in his hands and his feet. Grant that according to thy perfect timing, I will give relief when thou wilt, but especially grace and strength to bear up under the hardship. Lord, please also be with others who have had doctor's appointments, who have had injections, who have had different health concerns attended to, that in our mortal bodies we would seek thy renewal and thy strength. Please also be with the children, that as they have tomorrow off and we can celebrate family day, that thou will bless them with the realization that even their lives are passing by quickly, that as they grow older and as they're increasing in knowledge at school, that their hearts would be kept diligently, for out of them are the issues of life, that they would buy the truth and sell it not, that they would especially learn the way of the Master, the way of service, the way of grace. Oh Lord, bless the children and grant to all that they would know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Our Father, we pray too for those who are lonely, those who struggle with depression or addiction, whatever form that depression or that addiction takes, those who are in prison, who are charged with various crimes, perhaps, we ask thee to please be near people who are outside of the public eye, people who have darkness looming over their hearts and over their minds, like a deep cloud, such that it can be felt. Lord, we need thee to keep us in the equilibrium, to keep us in the balance that we need. And grant also to those who are homeless, to those who are in hospitals, to those who are in different places of care, grant them company. Grant them, those who are close to them, to be with them and see them, but especially grant them thy presence, that when it seems impossible to get through, Lord, there are no barriers for thee, but speak the word, and it will be done. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather we've had yesterday and today, and the mild temperatures, that even as it makes us itch for spring and for flowers and early blooms, that yet we would be given grace to wait on thee, to appreciate it, but also to say, thy will be done, and that we may seek thy blessing upon every day. Teach us what it is to cry out to thee before our day begins, early in the hours that we, after we wake up, to seek thy face for our travel, for our work, for our school, for our family. We would be those who need thee every moment, not just in desperate circumstances, special occasions, but every breathing moment we are given, that we would need thee. We pray for the unsaved. O Lord, thou hast called us to pray for all people. We ask for those yet in their sins to deliver them. Lord, thy blood is more than enough to cleanse the most vile, filthy, wretched sinner. And thou hast done it in the past. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, that would be the experience of relatives who are hardened in their ways of life apart from thee. that that would be the experience of close ones, dear ones, who still haven't been led to see their need. Oh, show them how their sins rise up against them. That would be the experience of co-workers, neighbors, who perhaps wonder what this life is all about, who see the futility in so many things. Oh, that they wouldn't be apathetic, careless about the needs of their souls, but that they would consider that there is a God, and thou hast spoken, and thou hast shown the way of life, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Gather thy people, Lord, from the ends of the earth, that there would even be a remnant to serve thee. We pray for strong family ties with our dearest ones. Lord, there can be so much hurt in families, so much brokenness wreaking havoc in our homes, in the walls that shelter us. There can be so much friction and so much hatred and animosity. Oh God, we need thee to give us spirits of love. Give us the willingness to lay down ourselves for others' good. We pray for a blessed day this day, that the light of thyself would shine upon us. We ask for those who will travel, give them traveling mercies, and be near to them as well. Thanking thee for visitors and extended family and family among us. Lord, please be thou the one who works this day of rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing together while we give our tithes and offerings for the benevolent fund as well as for the church fund, and we pray that the Lord blesses you and your gifts. 110 is our song from Psalm 40. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. 110, the three verses.
I attend and hear mercy.
congregation. We have lost one of us. And over the past weeks, the Lord has known our lowly state and bitter need. Truly, He has not forgotten us. Thou art my Savior and my help. Come, Lord, and tarry not. To have a death in a family, to have a death in a church family, is like losing part of us. There's no easy way to go through it. And yet we're not left in the dark. The Lord gives His light. The Lord has given His word to supply for us in our very uncertainties, in our very depths. God, more than supplies. And this is what we see from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 4 as well. That He shows us, especially from the early verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what happens when cold, dark death comes. And especially for God's people, that when the time of this journey of life ends, as difficult as it is, as final as it is, there is a blessed hope and a glorious provision. And beloved, this is the message that God would have us to receive this morning. We need not come to a pilgrimage, come to the end of our pilgrimage here on earth, unprepared. We can die the death of the believer. Paul knew hardship. That's why I started in chapter 4. His life wasn't a life of ease and everything going his way. No, you get the sense that his life was full of affliction. We are troubled. We are distressed. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We bear in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. This wasn't a health and wealth gospel that Paul declared. That when you say it, when you're saved, when you believe, everything's going to go perfectly for you and well for you. And yet, through this hardship, through the darkness, through the affliction, there was ample spiritual provision. We walk by faith and not by sight. He which raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So Paul can say, my life is, in a sense, a death. But that death even, that hardship even, works to the inward renewal of his heart. And then in chapter 5, he looks beyond just the affliction that he looked at in the verses that we read from chapter 4. He looks to death itself. Says even death, with all of its uncertainty, with all of its darkness and so cold, even death serves the child of God. Yes, God uses death for his people to further his glory and to serve their benefit. And that's what I'd like to look with you at this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, 1 through 9. Just reading verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Our theme is, when our pilgrim journey is over. Firstly, a heightened creation. Secondly, a fulfilled redemption. And thirdly, an exalted life. So when our pilgrim journey is over, a heightened creation, a fulfilled redemption, and an exalted life. We are pilgrims. And the idea of pilgrims, children, is that of travelers. People who don't stay for a long time at a certain address or a certain home. They're always on the move. They're going from one place to the next, to the next. And it shows that they aren't permanent any particular place. No, they're always on the go. And that's really what our life is like. You can think about how maybe you can remember when you were younger. But then, all of a sudden, that age and that stage is gone. It's past. You'll never be an infant again, children. No, you have things to look forward to, but you'll never go back to the time that you have already lived. Or for adults, you can remember your teenage years. Or for retired persons, you can remember your working years. And yet how fast, how quickly these stages go by. Always on the move. There's no pause. There's no dwelling in one stage longer than is necessary. Sometimes it may seem, children, that things go so slow. Seems like you'll never get to be a teenager. You'll never get to be one who can drive or who can work or start a family. But even though it may appear that way, our lives are fleeting, always moving fast. So we're pilgrims. We're travelers. We don't have a fixed address. And knowing this, it does us well to consider, where are we going? Where are we going? What is this life all about? What will it be when my traveling comes to an end as I now experience it now? Solemn question. Question that the death of a dear one can lead us to consider. What will it be for you, for me, when our pilgrim's journey is over? The Lord knows. But firstly, there will be a heightened creation. Verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And this brings us to the reality of God building something. And we know well God's original work of building the world. Everything that is and everything that was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's His building. He made it as a tabernacle, a place for mankind to live and to dwell and to flourish. And so we have houses and we have places to call our own and places to live and places to have shelter and places to keep our belongings. It's all woven into this house that God has made that we call a creation. And yet the reality of our creation, of our created order now, is that because of sin, it dissolves. It disintegrates. It breaks down. That's what we are marked by. That's what our pilgrimage through this life shows. Not a gaining of strength, not a building ourselves up, but the reality that the things marked by this created order is in the process of decay. Dissolving. And it's not easy. And it's because of our sin. And it leads to death. Our earthly house of this tabernacle dissolved. Our mortal bodies returning to the earth to become dust. But it's not hopeless. It doesn't stop there if our earthly house of this tabernacle dissolved, period. For then what hope, what promise would there be? We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So the one who has created everything out of nothing to begin with, and yet had that creation thrust down into sin because of man's disobedience, there is a building of God. A house not made with hands, just like the original creation made by the Word of God, by God Himself. But notice the exalted, the heightened, eternal in the heavens. So this first creation, our pilgrimage here, is marked by dissolving, by breaking down what we are into small particles. When the pilgrim journey of God's people is over, they don't remain dust. They have an everlasting home made for them with God in the heavens. So there's connection. There is the very real bond between the dissolved tabernacle and the building of God, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. When a person dies in Christ, that person, yes, will have his or her mortal remains remain upon this earth until the general resurrection. But when the resurrection occurs, that person will be raised and will be clearly who that person was during their earthly pilgrimage. not that we become different people. But we are who God made us. We are just exalted, perfected. But then, so there's the connection. But there's also the glory. It's called a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What will that be? We don't conceive of it now. All we are familiar with is dissolving and decay and returning to the small particles. We can't understand what it would be to have this lasting, glorious home. Especially the fact that it lasts. It doesn't grow worse. It doesn't decay one bit. When our pilgrim's journey is over, the height in creation will be the experience of the people of God to enjoy that which they had only a little taste of. Unchanging, glorious communion with God in the heavens. Beloved, is this your longing? Yes, the process of dissolving is painful. It's long. It's arduous. Difficult. Yet for the people of God, that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, to be with God. Jesus could put it this way, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you will come hither. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Hardship of dissolving will be far and eternally compensated for by the enduring eternal glory of dwelling with God forever. So the height in creation, to have the purpose of creation fulfilled, eternal life with God. That's what believers will enjoy when their pilgrimage, when their pilgrim's journey is over. Does that make you long? Lord, make me youthful while I can be here, but oh, that I would have my heart set on home. Sadly, for the unbeliever, their greatest enjoyment is in the dissolving. Sadly, for the unbeliever, their longest lasting joys are the passing ones that mark this life. Oh, beloved, here we are directed to lasting joy with God. We are directed here not to something that dissolves, but to something that has the eternal significance all through it. Don't settle. Don't let your pilgrim's journey be all there is. May you have a part in that heightened creation. But secondly, there is a fulfilled redemption. And we start to have here groaning and nakedness and mortality being swallowed up in of life in verses 2 through 4. And all of these are words that are connected in many ways with the salvation, with the redemption, with the deliverance that God would work and would accomplish over sin. So it says there, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." To have to wait, to have to struggle, to have to endure for the time being this groaning in a sinful world. Then it speaks in verse 3 of being naked. One of the first reactions of man and woman after they fell into sin was they realized they were naked and they were ashamed. What did they do, children? They wove together fig leaves for clothing. Nakedness, shame, sin, clothing in their attempt to cover their shame. You know, of course, how the Lord God, when He confronted man and woman, provided for them coats of skins as coverings. They wouldn't be naked, and that they wouldn't be clothed with the clothing of their own making, but that they would be clothed with that bloody God-provided clothing. That is such a pointer to the righteous work of Christ, the Redeemer. And it speaks of groaning again and burden. Not for that we would be unclothed, not so that we would just be able to exist, but that we would be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Again, think. The result of sin. In the day that you eat of the tree, you will surely die. Death. The result of sin. And it seems like all our pilgrim's journey is marked with groaning. It's marked with this desire to have a presentable appearance. Overcome death. That's what everybody longs for. They may say they're not religious. They may say they're atheists. But people are living their lives often in the way they see fit in order to have their groaning, their pain, their struggles dealt with. They may deal with their groaning within them by living it up. By pretending that groaning isn't there, by how happy and how together they may have it all seem. They may deal with the groaning within them by surrounding themselves with all the best of friends and a close family. They may deal with that groaning by looking to substances that can alter their minds for a certain little bit of time. Groaning. People deal with groaning. They may deal with groaning by working themselves to the bone. Work, work, work. How is this groaning dealt with in a satisfactory way? not by anything we can do. Because that groaning is relentless. It will remain there. No matter how much we try to quiet it, no matter how much we try to ignore it, no matter how much we try to distract ourselves from it, it's there, crawling. The only way that this groaning is dealt with is in the seed of the woman, the Savior of sinners, the one who has taken the curse which this groaning results from upon himself, and has turned that groaning into joy, that sorrow into contentment. Christ groaned. Christ died. So that you and I, when we believe in Him, may rejoice. Everybody also tries to deal with shame, trying to present themselves in the way of acceptance. We all do. Pastors can present themselves as the ones who are successful, the ones who have large churches and well-received ministries and worldwide impact. Office bearers can present themselves as busybodies seeking to be the ones to make the difference. Church members can present themselves as families having it all together, looking decent, with obedient children, with nice-looking families in the worship. Older ones can present themselves as having nothing faze them. Healthy, well, having a sound mind, able to have their bodies still active. We all don't want to be found naked. But again, even in a church, these things fall away. A pastor's flock is growing and vibrant as it can be without the Spirit of God working in it. And be as dead bones. Office bearers with as busy and diligent work as may be known of all, without the presence and blessing of God, but clanging cymbals, empty gongs. Families as orderly as they can be, without God blessing, with spirituality and with grace, can be beautiful vessels, clean on the outside, presentable, praiseworthy, but dirty on the inside. The fulfilled redemption is, again, in Christ, that He is our standing before God and others. Not our own appearances, not our own works, but Christ alone as the solid rock when everything else is sinking sand. And the glory of it is that He is perfectly clothed, perfectly appearing at His Father's right hand even now. Therefore, we need not put on fronts. We can be sinners needing this redemption and looking to Christ for it. Then there's also the life. life, life, everlasting life. How will life be made ours? How will our death be overcome by life? And again, our lives are taken up with trying to answer this question about our future. What will our future bring? People answer it in all different ways. Solid bank accounts. An intact family. All their medical issues clearly delineated for people who may have to make decisions. Wills and documents in order. And these things can and are important. But what is the way to life? When our pilgrim's journey is over. Well, the way to life is by faith. We read it in the last part of chapter 4. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The life, the way to overcome death, beloved, to look at death through the eye of faith. Say, death, you have been defeated because Christ lives. Christ lives today. And my faith rests in Him, and my life is tied to His. Is that your profession this morning? Redemption. Redemption not received because you're here, but redemption received because you believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, this is fulfilled redemption. That you would groan as a redeemed sinner, and you can put off this immortality and put on eternal life. That you would be clothed more and more in the beauty of Christ's righteousness. Not being naked, but being well adorned. And that you would have victory. That your death would only lead to life, which you have in Christ by faith. This is the fulfilled redemption that our pilgrim's journey is leading God's people to. Let's sing 416, 1, 3, and 5. 416, 1, 3, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. 416, 1, 3, and 5.
I cry, God of my.
at a pilgrim's journey. When our pilgrim's journey is over, a heightened creation, a fulfilled redemption, and lastly, an exalted life. The earnest of the Spirit is given to the people of God. And the idea behind that word earnest is the Spirit as a down payment. The Spirit as the one who secures the possession of the thing. So you can put a down payment on a car, and that down payment means that they won't sell that car from under you. Or they shouldn't. Of course, in our world, things don't always go as they should. It's the part of the purchase money or property given in advance as a security that the remainder of that thing will be made yours. So now there is the Spirit to attend the pilgrims as they move, as they journey, as they come to the time when their pilgrim's journey will be over. So we're not left unprovided for now, but we have the wonderful blessing and the wonderful presence He has given unto us, the earnest of the Spirit. So what every believer has now guarantees, it secures them for what they will have when their pilgrimage is over. Wow, what a gift. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit as that down payment. And you say, what can be really better than this? We have Him, who is eternal life to our souls, living within. And then we keep reading. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So yes, to have the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment of the Spirit, is wonderful. But then, Paul even looks further. To be present with the Lord. With Christ eternally. To be accepted of Him. We labor for that acceptance. So the pilgrim's life isn't a life of drudgery. Going from step to step, from place to place, from stage to stage, through life, just trying to make it. The pilgrim's life is the life of the Spirit. Having His place prepared for him in heaven. And being led through this life by the grace of the Spirit. Till that person takes up his or her place in heaven. But oh, to think, what is it to be present with the Lord? To not just have the Spirit as the down payment, but to have the full possession of glory. Truly, it is beyond our comprehension. And yet it's held out to pilgrims. Beloved, maybe you feel distant. You feel far away. It's my prayer that God's word would make you draw near. That heaven wouldn't be something way off in the distance. That it would be something so familiar, so close to you. That whether you're here or whether you're there, that you're able to be with the Lord. Perhaps you're one who doesn't care about the reality of heaven. You would rather have your present life now than to consider what it is to be present with the Lord. You receive many blessings. Blessings that we can never put a value upon. But remember, all of these blessings are intended by the giver of these blessings to make you seek Him. To not let you settle for anything less than having Him and acceptance with Him as yours. Will you really take the blessings and not have the God of the blessings? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Our pilgrim's journey will be held to account by Him. Perhaps you're a believer who seems like it could be any day for your own pilgrim's journey to end. I pray that these words would help you through it all, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You don't know what will mark your final breath, what will mark your final days. But beloved, to live by faith, to say that I have Christ, that is the way to end your pilgrim's journey. Because then you'll find out you've just begun. He will never fail any one of His dear pilgrims. Amen. O Lord, grant us this reality to our religion, that we would be on the journey, and grant us to be making progress, to be advancing. Don't let us be paused or backsliding or out of the way. But let us be as that faithful pilgrim, with our minds and our hearts and our feet set on the highway of holiness. And Lord, for especially the older ones among us, but for us all, prepare us for that day when we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That we would come there, not unfamiliar, not unprepared, but bringing His own work back to Him and being accepted of Him. Oh God, help us in our various conditions and grant to us all to seek the glory of our triune God. Forgive our sins, O faithful Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 365 is our closing psalter.
knowledge or selection.
From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry.
Lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.